The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became glistening, intensely white, as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make 3 booths, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man should have risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You are the light of the world. Your glory reveals not only the grandeur of God's grace and mercy for all, but also that this grandeur, this grace and mercy is lived out in a personal connection with you. So grant us grace to live in such a way to demonstrate that goodness, that connection, that life. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. So this is the last Sunday after Epiphany before we transition to the season of Lent. And you've already heard the announcements and the opportunities that are available to step into the season of Lent in a way that draws you into both a relationship with the Scriptures, but also to one another, to practice love. To practice love as part of our journey, as part of our identity as followers of Jesus. And so on this last Sunday after Epiphany, we are summoned, invited to reflect on this very familiar passage of Scripture, which we will reflect on later on because the Transfiguration comes back. But here at the end of Epiphany, we're invited to linger the mountaintop with Jesus and the disciples. And it really is part of the Gospel of Mark, Mark's strategy throughout the entire Gospel. And so Mark places a question at the beginning of his narrative, one that calls on us to really think through deep in our heart our response. The question, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? This is the one basic and overarching question throughout the Gospel of Mark. So scholars and from early on in Mark's narrative, Mark has emphasized Jesus' authority as a wonder worker and teacher. Recall the spirit, the unclean spirit, the preaching. What is this teaching? What is this teaching that has come to us? So this question of authority. At the same time, Mark has highlighted a series of misunderstandings and rejections of Jesus. Not everyone was on board. Not everyone is on board, even today, with Jesus. And so Jesus suffered the religious leaders, but also from the Herodians. And if you recall, the Herodians were vassals, the managers of the Roman Empire and their policies. They were Jews who were going along to get along. And so in this particular space, Jesus is rejected by religious authorities, by the political authorities of his community, also by the time we get to this part in Mark's gospel where Jesus ascends the mountain, we are reminded that his very own family had some misunderstandings about his mission, and his neighbors. Who is this Nazarene? You're Joseph's son. What are you doing? Who do you say that I am is the driving, overarching, organizing question of the Gospel of Mark. And I think it's the organizing question for us as we enter into the season of Lent, as we step out of the season of Epiphany where the glory is revealed. Now, who is this Jesus for us? This is the question we coming back to over and over and over again. Who do you say that I am? And in our gospel lesson, Jesus takes three of his disciples up a mountain. Mind you, this happens right after Jesus asked his group of followers, who do people say that I am? There's that question. And it's Peter who says, you are the Messiah, the Christ. And then Jesus reminds them, but you know that I'm on my way to Jerusalem now, where I will be betrayed and put to death. And Peter has an issue with this bad news. No, wait, hold on a second. I love the miracles. I love the power and the authority that you're revealing. But this question in this conversation of sacrifice and cross, no, thank you. And Jesus rebukes Peter and calls him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. For you do not understand the things of God. It's one more echo of that. The thoughts of God are distinctly different from the thoughts of humanity. And Jesus invites these three to climb up the mountain. And well, just when you thought you knew Jesus. Mark is quick to point out, in classic Markan fashion, that Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could believe that. There's that sense in which there's something that they did not expect nor understood what was taking place. This is taking place. It's a bit like, now use this analogy. It's a bit like the microscope I bought my son Ian Christmas this past year. He didn't bother me about a microscope. I bought him a telescope 2 years ago. Now he wanted a microscope. He loves looking at things closely. And so I said, okay, well, I'll buy you one, but I sure, but it's not going to be, you know, the one you want, that one that is on sale for $1,500. So long as it's not one of those kiddie, you know, small little whatever you can buy somewhere in the kids section, because he's 14 now, right? So I bought him a microscope, brought it home, we assembled it, and of course it comes with a bunch of other where you drop a water, you put glass over it. It's just, it's a whole ordeal. It's like my living room turned into a lab. So he went out and pulled a leaf off a tree, he picked up some dirt, and he decided to put it all under this microscope to analyze it. And he's like, Dad, look at this, you got to see this, wow. I'm like, this is amazing. He decides, well, you know what, I'm going to get a drop of water from our faucet. So he does that, and he goes, what have you been feeding us? What have you been making us drink? From now on, we're going to get that bottled water, that one from Finland that is, you know, comes down, you know, that pure stuff. I'm like, yeah, keep dreaming. That closeness, suddenly pattern and beauty and color and movement. And this is similar to what the disciples are now experiencing of Jesus. They've seen him out and about. They've heard him teaching. Now it's like under the microscope they see the glory there that's always been there. When was the last time Jesus surprised you that way? Remember, we've been talking about how you can be so close as a follower of Jesus, a disciple, someone who worships, just knows the liturgy, the prayers, but yet we could be so far. And the challenge in the Gospel of Mark is always to draw us closer and closer and closer so that we live with that glory, and that glory lives in and through us. The disciples see a side of Jesus they could never imagine, but it's always been there. And so Peter decides, well, this is wonderful. This is amazing. He's the Messiah. I knew this is the liberator of Israel. Romans, look out. We're on top of this mountain. Two mountains. Here we are. It is go time. This is it. I'm going to... Jesus, what do you think? Okay, so Jesus is dazzling white. Moses and Elijah, the prophets and the law, having a conversation with Jesus, and Peter decides to talk about a construction project. You know, capital campaign, let's put it that way, maybe. Because there's something about those moments when Jesus shows up in an unexpected way that we want to somehow find a way to locate, to domesticate, to fit into something. Mind you, a booth was a religious and liturgical building for God's people. But in that, Peter, out of his terror, because they were exceedingly terrified, the scripture said, decides to say, well, let's put together places for Moses, Elijah, and for you, Jesus. This is great. I love this. And Jesus, suddenly the cloud descends, and God's voice comes down and says, this is my son. Now, this is the second time in the Gospel of Mark that the voice of God descends. If you recall the baptism on the Jordan, Jesus baptized, except then God directly addresses Jesus, you are my son. In this portion, this is my son. And the command is to listen to him. Don't listen to what is going on inside of you. Don't listen to the anxieties that are pushing you, Peter, who Jesus just called Satan. Listen to him. Now, God could have said something different, right? When you think of the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, this is the moment to say something, but the message is love. This is my son. Because those moments of discovering the depth and beauty of God as we get closer, as we pray more, as we read the scriptures, as we open our hearts to God, as we come to table, and as we sing, it's an invitation to a closeness. And intimacy clarifies what is going on for us. Listen to his teaching. Listen to him. Because you're going to go down the mountain. You're going to hear things and see things that are going to blow your mind, call into question long-held beliefs and possibly habits. Jesus is going to challenge you as you are invited to pick up your cross. For you, know that there are the thoughts of God and there are your thoughts. And Jesus wants to so shape our thinking and our hearts so that we see that what God is up to is not a spectacle, but it's an invitation to participate in that goodness, that love, that coming down the mountain to a hurting and waiting and watching world. So Peter, again, is the sign of that disciple. If I was Jesus, I would have said, Peter, you stay, Satan, stay here. You stay. I'm taking these two up to the mountain. But that's grace. That this very same Peter is invited to a closeness and intimacy, I think should give us comfort. Because whether it's, I don't like that Jesus, or filled with questions and doubts, which many of us are, we come and Jesus knows, and yet Jesus invites us into this sacred company, also invites us to hear the voice of God saying, stay together, let that voice enter your heart, lead you and guide you. And you know what? It's guiding in specific ways. It's not me determining how we're all going to be guided by Jesus, but it's you sitting with your questions, with your fears, and hearing Jesus, listening and attentive, which is what we're inviting you to do in the season of Lent, to come and slow down, to attend a Bible study on Thursdays, do stations on Fridays, to sit with a wonderful book on Tuesdays, to listen, to learn, in order to carry the cross. I don't know what your cross is. I really don't. I know I have one. I think we all have one. And I know that there are those experiences where we do feel the closeness and love of Jesus. May those experiences serve like fuel, comfort, and strength as we step into the next season. I shared last night with the Saturday evening service that as much as I am happy for my son, Ian, who is on his way to college in the fall, I'm going to miss him a lot. And I'm having to deal with months away from a whole different way of life. So I'm just almost kind of confused. You know, we all know, you know, they got to leave the nest, but I'm not ready for that. And I have a mad scientist who's going to be left at home with his microscope and telescope and measuring water levels and contamination. But it's good to know I can lean on a community that has walked that road. Many of you have come up to me and said, you're going to be all right. Trust me. Listen to Jesus. Whether it's the advice of someone who has actually been down that road, or someone who sits across you or that you know, listen to Jesus, who is saying to you, draw closer to God, and in doing so, receive the comfort and strength that you need for your specific struggle or your joy, for your journey as you carry your cross, as we carry collectively the cross of Christ, as followers of the one who leads us up the mountaintop, but doesn't leave us there, invites us to come back down into the world where our grandkids need words of encouragement, where our friends need someone to take them to an appointment, where our neighbor needs food, where everyone who is cheering for Kansas City will need comfort later on this afternoon. I guess you know who I'm rooting for, right? It is that voice again of the beloved one who invites us to go to Jerusalem. And to see what love looks like. Before Pilate, before the powers and principalities of this world. And it's that very voice that I believe will carry us through this year, through this season, through our lives. So listen to him. Listen to him. This is my son. Grant us ears to listen to the voice of your beloved. Open our hearts. Strengthen us for the journey ahead, Lord. As we enter the season of Lent, remind us that we go not alone, but together in this grace-filled community of love that you have called together. We thank you for the promise of your presence with us, in us, through us, above, beside, behind, and below. You are our friend and our Lord. May we be ready to listen. Amen.